present the news quiz with your chairman, Barry Took.
Hello, welcome again to the news quiz. I'm not young Martin, but old Took. And we start with a cutting from an advertisement in the Lincolnshire Echo, read by Charlotte Green.
Strippograms from £35, all areas covered.
Ah. Thank you, E. Thompson of Walsall, for sending us that. Now, let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, author, actor, minor genius, Andy Hamilton, and vegetarian MP, Tony Banks. Facing them on my left, prolific journalist, good egg all round, Alan Corran, and scourge of almost everybody, the big number from down under, Germaine Greer. Andy, you'll get the first question. It's this. Who should lose their patience?
Is this possibly a reference to the report that came out this week from a group called Healthcare 2000? Quite an optimistic title for it, really. There will be healthcare in 2000. And this report, which was sort of pseudo-independent, although when you looked at it more closely, it was sort of stocked with people who might be sympathetic towards private medicine, said that basically the trouble was that the country was getting too old and these irresponsible scientists keep inventing cures for illness. Is that roughly the right tree that I'm barking up?
You've barked up it to a great effect. This was Healthcare 2000, the report that suggested that NHS patients should pay for extra little luxuries, like anaesthetics. Alternatively, they can bring their own mallet and bottle of gin. Sir Duncan Nicol proposed that in future, healthcare will be planned and paid for like annual holidays. So anyone thinking of having a major illness should make sure they book the first 2 weeks in August. Tony, nice to have you back on the programme.
Thank you.
Your question is, what courtship is a tale of two parties?
Ah, yes. Now, that is something to do with Tony Blair, with whom I'm constantly getting confused, Paddy Ashdown. Tony suggested that we could get into bed with the Liberal Democrats and coexist quite happily. I actually think this is quite a good idea, you see, because I've noticed that some of the policies that the Liberal Democrats have come out with during their conference are a bit lefty. So what we could do is we could get them all to join the Labour Party, then we could expel them, you see, for being too radical, and then we'd look even more moderate than we are, you see, and then we'd win lots more votes. That's a good idea.
Have you floated that one past Peter Mandelson yet?
No. I'll try Mandy next time. Yeah.
Mandy, is that a real nickname?
Yes. Well, as far as I'm concerned, it is.
No, we don't want any of this backstairs gossip here. This refers to Tony Blair's attempt to forge a closer relationship with the Liberal Democrats in the run-up to the next election. Well, nobody likes losing alone. Germaine, who was seen as CE of C of E?
Well, I think C of E means Church of England.
It does indeed.
And this is to do with the fact that the Church of England had a go at becoming the world's biggest real estate agent.
Absolutely.
And crashed in flames. So now they're suggesting that there be a complete reorganisation of the structure of the Church of England. But I haven't quite grasped the doctrinal nugget in this situation because it seems to me they've got a great many churches and nobody in them. This is what a mere Catholic thinks as she trudges around the country. The Catholics seem to go to Mass in hordes, in sheds and flats about the place. And the Church of England seem to be able to stay away from this enormous number of churches, which all belong to us in the beginning anyway.
The Church Commission has actually lost £800 million gambling on the property market. You would have thought, with God on their side, they could have got that right, wouldn't you? But, I mean, obviously, the law doesn't like property speculation, so what's now going to happen, I understand, is that the congregations are going to have to divvy up to pay the salaries of all the clergy, because they've run out of money.
Are we going to have the question about the Pope and the communion non-alcoholic wine?
No.
Because if not, I can have a go at Germaine, who is a left-footer.
Well, no, the Pope says...
What's a left-footer?
Catholic.
Oh, I'm sorry, I don't know. I've been in a state of happy ignorance for 67 years.
The Pope has given a dispensation so that transubstantiation, the body and the blood, may now take place with grape juice, because the Roman Catholic Church is full of alcoholic priests.
It's true.
You've misunderstood the story.
Well, they are stories, I would agree with that.
The argument's about celibacy.
No, the argument is
about... It's not about alcoholism. That's not what they can't leave alone.
No.
The answer is the Archbishop of Canterbury, who was seen as chief executive of a new style Church of England, to be run on commercial lines like British business. Except it would be run on commercial lines. Alan, here's a piece of music for you.
Splish splash, I was taking a bath, long about a Saturday night. Yeah! Rub a dub, just relaxing in the tub, thinking everything was alright. Well, I stepped out the tub, put my feet on the floor, I wrapped the towel around me and I opened the door, and in a splish splash, I jumped back in the bath. Well, how was I to know there was a party going on? There was a splishing.
Well, that was Splish Splash by Bobby Dowd, and your question is, who didn't come clean with his cutting remarks?
I think this is Trevor Newton.
It is.
Who is so inexplicably proud of the level to which he's taken the Yorkshire Water Authority that he's actually happy to be able to tell people that every Friday night he stands in his wife's tooth mug while the cat licks off the week's accretions. And he seems to think... No, this is a reason for some kind of rejoicing. This is an extraordinarily inept man who has totally buggered... Well, I think... Whose lawyers may think that he hasn't totally buggered up the Yorkshire Water Authority, so there's no water at all. And we're back into wartime and King George VI saying, have these 6 inches. Well, I'll rephrase that. But during, those of us who were around during the war, remember that King George only let us have 6 inches of water in the bath. And that's where Yorkshire is now left, at World War II level, literally.
Yes. It's all about the boss of Yorkshire Water, Trevor Newton, who said he saved water by not having a bath for 3 months. He spoke... True, don't laugh. He spoke at a small reception where the guests were treated to drinks and cheesy what's-its. Right, too. In advising of planned water cuts, he described how it's possible to get by with a small bowl and flannel. No one saw the bowl, but there was plenty of flannel. And the scores at the end of round one are tied for all. It's always like that. We start round two with a news story spotted in The Guardian.
The winner of the national contest to find the worst guitar player in Belgium has been rewarded with a one-way plane ticket to Lourdes.
Thank you, Ted Shepherd of Thirlwall, Cheshire, for that. It was well worth waiting for. Andy, what expensive passes were ruled offside?
This is a football story, I reckon.
Yes, indeed, it is.
Been a busy week for football. There's been a lot of football stories. But this, I think, refers to the court case in Europe, which has revolutionised the transfer system. And it has very serious implications for the clubs, because supposing Arsenal wanted to sell Dennis Bergkamp, I mean, obviously they couldn't at the moment, unless it was to the Oxfam shop or somebody, but if they did, you know, if it's the end of his contract, they won't actually get any money for him. He'll be a free agent. And but there were a few football stories this week. There was also the West Ham player who complained that David Meller called him an animal for treading on a Chelsea player's head. And the West Ham player in question thought this was a bit much, but...
What was he, a plant?
I don't know.
An insect.
He just thought he was lying there. I mean, it does conjure up the picture of the West Ham player going around and treading on David Meller's head, which isn't funny, but it's quite a nice picture.
David Meller pays good money for that.
He being Julian Dick.
Oh, hello.
There was one even more extraordinary story, which was that Diego Maradona and Eric Cantona, those two well-known beacons of sanity, decided that rather than have one persecution complex each, they'd pool their persecution complexes, and they formed a union, a players' union, for vastly overpaid footballers with earrings, I think. And that's threatening to take over the world, so... There you are, that's it. I'm spent now.
Tony, your question now. Why won't you make a quick buck from fast food?
Yes, it appears that people who work for Burger King have to pay Burger King money to work there, because they pay slave wages like they do footballers. So they're thinking of forming an international union of Burger King workers, and they're going to ask Eric Cantona and Madonna, Maradona.
You
get down Burger King.
You have to do 3 days training, which are just 3 days working, and you don't get paid for those. Then you get told to take time off whenever the business is slack. So you're called on and off and on and off and on and off inside one shift. So if you actually work out the time you're paid for and the time you have to be there, you're being paid about £1.20 an hour.
I didn't come here to have lectures on communism. I mean, that's market forces for you. What's wrong with that? I mean, you know, with Labour Party, we're right behind it, mate, I tell you.
Now, Germaine, will you have a listen to this?
Everyone was a Henry. She wouldn't have a Willie or a Sam. I'm her eighth old man named Henry. I'm Henry the eighth, I am.
All together. All you cheerful Cockney sparrows. Unsurprisingly, that was I'm Henry the Eighth, I am. Your question is, who should make an heroic return to form?
There's been an attempt to stop telling children pork pies about Nelson saying, what did Nelson say? Kiss me, Hardy.
Well, he was obviously gay, wasn't he? I mean, they don't like the truth.
He wasn't gay. He
wasn't
was,
he?
He was only 4 foot tall.
Oh.
He couldn't reach.
I think lying there on the deck with all his bits blown off, he probably said, here's another fine mess you've got me into, Hardy. I don't believe
it. Bugger this, I should have joined the army.
How am I going to climb that column with one arm? Yes.
So somebody has suggested that school history classes not perpetuate these canards, and that we try to teach children true history, which is kind of absurd because there's no such thing. Well, there really isn't.
Wash your mouth up.
Well, I mean, it's true.
It's all relative. It's the winner's right history. That's really the point, isn't it, Germaine?
Right. I've just come back from a fact-finding trip in Zimbabwe, you see.
You?
Yeah, I was just comparing the differences.
Did you find it?
Yeah, I did. I found it all right. You know, I was just comparing the different kinds of pink gin that we get there. And I was at the Victoria Falls, and he's got this big statue of Livingstone. He was one of the heroes that were mentioned. You know, Livingstone discovered the Victoria Falls. You know, now, there were a lot of people living there.
You know, thought like, he ran.
Oh, I mean, you know, thank you, Mr. Livingstone. We'd never noticed them before.
How I love to hear Tony Banks slagging off someone called Livingstone. I can't believe it.
It's all go tonight. This was the chief executive of the School Curriculum Authority who accused teachers of failing to appreciate the importance of historical figures like Alfred the Great, William the Conqueror and Lord Nelson. That's ridiculous. They know all about how Nelson lost his eye and so burnt the cakes at Hastings. Kids of today need heroes to admire to get them off their daily diet of sex and violence. Great men like Henry VIII, who beheaded only half of his six wives before dying of several sexually transmitted diseases. Alan, what didn't arrive okay?
Are you referring to the Senna Sea Link challenge?
Senna?
Yes, the
Senna Pod challenge.
It's a semi cross channel ferry. It's impossible, really, to open a newspaper these days without finding something that's supposed to travel to France. Actually not getting there. And I'm convinced this is government policy about Europe, especially having a Malcolm Rivkin speech on Thursday, to saying, yes, we're actually totally, fully, absolutely committed, but let's not go the whole hog and let's not rush things. I think this means that when you get in a train at Ashford, it stops halfway underneath the channel. And when you get on one of these ferries, it doesn't actually get... I can sort of see it on the bridge on the night in question. It's Anthony Steele and Jack Hawkins, isn't it?
Well, a couple of cocoa, number two.
There are a couple of miles off France. And the first mate says, shall I just slip it into Calais Harbour, Captain? And he turns to him and he says, that's just what they'll be expecting. Why don't you stick it on the beach? I know this because Having stuck it on the beach, as we saw from the papers the next day, what happened but that every Englishman on board ran to the prow of the ship and unfurled the Union Jack over the front of it? This is a sort of two fingers at Europe, isn't it? Sort of up yours, Delors. There is madness behind this
message. There is, well, there is.
But I think it better be about the... Well, it's not called the Senna ceiling, because it's a Stena.
Yes.
Let me tell you that we've come to the end of another round and the scores are still tied at 8-8. We start round three with some news from the Sunday Telegraph.
An abstract painting has been reported missing from Swindon Arts Centre in Wiltshire after staff realised it hadn't been seen for 10 years.
Thank you, Janet Green of Lancashire, for that. Andy, who is set to take off as the world's snooziest?
Well, this is a very bad idea. This is British Airways. We'll take good care of you. They've decided to reintroduce beds in first class, and they had a picture of the bed which looked spookily like a coffin, I thought. So all the nervous flyers will be dying to climb into that. Oh yeah, I'll get into that. Cut out the middleman. And there's been concern expressed that couples might sort of have sex during the flight, which I think's highly unlikely, frankly. Because, you know, it's very difficult. You get dehydrated on the flight. You feel a bit miserable. I don't think it's not conducive to that kind of thing. And also, you know, in first class, the hostesses come around more regularly, don't they, and ask if there's anything you want. So I don't know.
Yes, it's the news that British Airways is to introduce sleeping cabins on its long-haul flights. It's an idea they got from British Rail, although they call them ticket offices. British Airways say this service will reflect the great days of the old Imperial Airways when it took 4 days to get from Croydon to Africa or India. Today it takes 4 days to get from Croydon to Heathrow. Tony, here's a piece of music for you.
I'm a loser, and I love someone who feels to me. I'm a loser, and I'm not what I appear to be.
Well, that was I'm a Loser by the Beatles. And your question is, who got a little cross with their pooled argument?
Yeah, this was one of those stories you keep reading about. Why is it that people who keep winning things sort of turn out to be loonies or unbelievably greedy? I could handle it. No, this is this guy won £2.8 million on the pools and... they'd had an arrangement beforehand with his mates that if any of them won over £1 million, they'd had the other one £25,000. But the bloke who won £2.8 million, he decided to drift off abroad and stuff the other two. And the courts, surprisingly enough, because I didn't realise that gambling debts, etc., were enforceable, the courts actually said, or the judge said, pay up, you miserable git. Give them the £25,000 each.
But surely, I think that I watched this the other night on the news. There's three of them and the guy who's claiming that he should keep all the money. I think where the individuals are as unattractive as that and as undeserving, the court should have the power to take all the money away from them.
Yeah. And give it to someone like me who could handle it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
Well, that would do me for an answer. Alan, your question again. What old boy enrolled at a school for scandal?
He's got two names. I think one of them is something like Blashford Snell or Blandford.
Brandon Lee.
Brandon Lee.
It is.
It sounds like a bungalow somewhere, doesn't it, Brandon? last week we went into this, if you remember, Barry. Oh, you weren't here. But we were talking about sort of prenatal testing for schools, the Gillian Shepherd's plan to test fetuses before they were sent to school. This is a school which has very old men in it. Somehow he slipped through the net. They couldn't tell he was 32 years old. I don't know why they couldn't tell that, but he went back to, he'd been at the school 15 years before, and they couldn't remember him either. I mean, it tells us a great deal about the teachers rather than the pupils
of the
story. Anyway, this very old person went back to school to take 5 more O or A levels because he wanted to be a doctor.
Right.
Which is a reasonable thing to want to be. He'll be back at the school when he's 77 saying, I want to be a solicitor now. And they won't recognise him then either. He'll get another 9 O-levels. And this man will stay in permanent education for the rest of his life because the school teachers are all barking mad. But he's got two names. I mean, he's got a 17-year-old name and a 32-year-old name.
That's right.
at prize giving, he got his 5A levels and his OAP bus pass at the same time, you know.
We should all be allowed to do this, though, because what he's done, actually, is he's looked back, he's obviously thought, my education was a bit of a disappointment. I know, I'll go back and I'll rewrite my past. I think we should all be allowed to do this, you know.
That's
just one time in our lives, we go back, you know.
What are you going to do with a beard, Andy? I mean, even in Glasgow, they've got a twig, something wrong there.
You think the beard would give me away? I'm worried, I don't want to go back to my old school. Even I'm worried they'll ask for that essay on Palmerston that I never handed in.
Absolutely right. Every particular, this is the 32-year-old man who posed as a 17-year-old to become a pupil at a Glasgow school, in Bear's Den, actually. Brandon Lee's real age was only discovered after 9 of his classmates were hospitalised for giving him the bumps on his birthday. And the scores at the end of round 3 are still tied at 12-all. Andy, will you have a listen to this?
My Venus in blue jeans is everything I hoped she'd be. A teenage goddess from above, and she belongs to me.
They could write songs in those days. They just didn't bother. Anyway. What uplifted the bottom of the market, Andy?
This is the bottom bra.
It is.
The jeans with which use lift and separate technology to supposedly give anyone who's worried about their sagging bottom to make it a bit more sort of, you know, aesthetically pleasing. But I did see, I think I saw a feature where they actually tried them on, and actually some perfectly attractive bottoms look like sort of diseased pears afterwards. So I don't know whether it's going to catch on or not, frankly.
Say, look here. These are the newly launched Miracle Boost jeans designed as a wonder bra for the bottom. The novel lift and separate trousers caused surprise in the market, especially when a man tried them on by mistake back to front. Now. Germaine, whose hotline has finally been coned off?
Think John Major. Think of something plastic and triangular and completely boring.
That's John Major. Yes, go on.
Do you get out much, John Major?
Yes, I do.
You don't cycle.
Oh,
everywhere.
I know. It's the Cones hotline. It doesn't work anymore. I thought that was weeks ago because what happened when you rang the Cones hotline is you got an answer phone that just said, thank you, your call has been forgotten or something. And so we all knew the hotline didn't work and we weren't using it anyway. So
there's a new one now. They're replacing that with another one, which is called Highway Hotline.
You're kidding.
I'm not. Would I lie to you?
It's going to be the same old thing again. You ring up and it says, yadda yadda yadda.
No, this is about other things beyond cones. If you see dead squirrels and stuff.
I have to say, I didn't know the answer to that question. I didn't know there was a Highway Hotline.
Oh, well, I didn't know this. Alan, what giant discovery made prehistory?
I hope this is going to be the one about the House of Commons sinking. We didn't have that. And then we got old banks over there. The House of Commons is going down like a stone.
Very slowly, though.
Very slowly.
Yeah, very slowly.
Well, it does everything. 2 millimetres, doesn't it?
With Ted Heath at the organ as it goes down. That original port.
It's because of a tunnel under it.
That's right.
They need, I mean, it's a last resort of the politicians. They need to escape. They're trying to dig to Switzerland.
Yeah.
You can see them walking up and down Members' Terrace every morning with the sand coming out of the bottom of their trousers. Anyway, it isn't. I think it's about something equally fascinating and even older and more corrupt than most of our politicians. This is about a dinosaur called Clara.
That's right.
How they know after 4 million years it's not called Jim or Charlie, I'm not being an expert on the gonads of dinosaurs. But anyway, it's the biggest dinosaur there ever was.
Yes.
It's about the size of Greenland. It ate every other dinosaur, and then it went to Patagonia and died. Stuffed itself on Triceratops and Tyrannosaurus Rex and all that. And it went to Patagonia and it just pegged out. And they've just dug it up again.
Bit of a mouthful, isn't it?
The thing that nobody ever mentions about these huge beasts is about the droppings.
I know.
I mean, can you imagine this enormous creature running about the pampas?
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't worth living. No wonder they all died out.
Just as well they didn't fly then, innit?
This was the discovery in Patagonia of the world's tallest dinosaur with a huge mouthful of massive grinding teeth, Dinosaurus Janet Street Porterus. The 8-ton monster is very similar to Tyrannosaurus Rex, but isn't a close relative, although they did exchange occasional cars at Christmas. Well, we've come more or less to the end, but before we reveal the final scores, let's see what cuttings teams have brought along. Andy, have you brought a cutting for us?
Well, I have, and it's from the Alton Herald, and I think this cutting is interesting for the story behind it. Wedding apology. On August the 4th, the Herald carried the wedding report of David Buckland and Catherine Andrews. Unfortunately, due to a mix-up over names, it stated that Mr. Buckland spent his wedding night and honeymoon with Caroline Andrews, the bride's sister and chief bridesmaid. We would like to apologise for the error and for any embarrassment caused to the newlyweds.
Tony.
This is from the Eskdale Parish magazine, and it says, "We are grateful to Iona and Peter for having us at Walls, to the Bishop of Penrith for having intercourse with all of us, and to each other for the openness and honesty which were marks of our work together. I shall try to offer something of similar value after Easter next year."
Oh, lucky devils there. Germaine.
Well, this comes from the Glasgow Herald, and it's a story from Los Angeles. A nightclub has been ordered to close down a shower enclosure where nude dancers cavort for male customers because the enclosure has no wheelchair access. City officials said the club discriminated against wheelchair-bound people because they were denied an equal opportunity to work as nude dancers.
Alan, what have you brought for us?
Well, I have to say, Barry, that in 20 years of carrying on this farrago, I've never had a more embarrassing or indeed ungallant quotation. We have to return to the Stena Sealink. And on Tuesday on Radio 4, I turned it on and I heard our own Charlotte Green telling me that 450 passengers had been trapped aboard a cross flannel Cherry.
Colour cool that Charlotte's gone there.
It's called Cherry. Anyway, let me tell you the scores at the end of the contest. Well, it's been tied all the way through, and that's the way it remained to the very end. 16 all, and Charlotte gets a bonus of 20 for the Cherry. Anyway. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the big issue sent in by W. Pottinger of North London.
Shoplifters are becoming ever more exotic in their choice of goods. In New York, light-fingered Sybil Cerf, 31, was rushed to hospital with hypothermia after concealing 6 frozen quails in her bra and 4 in her knickers. "My son must have put them there while I wasn't looking," she said.
Well done, Charlotte. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corran, Andy Hamilton, Tony Banks MP and Germaine Greer. The chairman was Barry Took and the news was read by me, Charlotte Green. The programme was written by Ian Pattinson and Robert Fraser-Steele. The producer was Aled Evans.